to Women of
Blog
Wisdom
Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom. This thing took off on me again, which is not supposed to happen. A couple quick programming notes before I bring my guest on. Women of Wisdom is actually a solo one show by me, and I have no co-host anymore. That got too confusing. And / I just made a shift in my company, let's put it that way. So I have no co-host, so forgive me for being late, but I want to bring on my guest, Dorothy, and Dorothy wants to talk about military wives and how we can serve the military. So, Dorothy, can you hear me?
Okay. Yes,
hi.
I'm here. Are we good?
How are you? We're good.
I am very good.
How
are you?
We're good. We're good. Blog Talk sometimes has a hissy fit. I'm like, yeah, this is not good. So anyway, I wanted to bring you on because your expertise is military wives and military.
Yes.
So that leads me to my first question. Why?
Why military wives?
I'll
tell you, when I started my business about a year ago, and I hired a coach to help me focus in on who can I best serve, you know, and who can I bring the most value. And as we worked through my questions and I went deeper and deeper inside myself, I realized that having been a military wife for 45 years, that I had a lot of value to bring to young military wives, really military wives and families of any age, but and anywhere, because I've lived it, and I've lived it firsthand, and you know, I've learned some things along the way, and so my mission is to share what I've learned and to help any way I can to make their journey valuable to them and meaningful to them.
So when you say you've lived it firsthand, what
mm-hmm.
are you saying? You had a spouse in the military?
No, I did not serve, but I served as a military wife.
Okay.
My husband and I met in high school. And he knew then that he wanted to be an Army Ranger.
Wow.
And that was his
wow.
purpose. Yeah, he was committed to that. And when he first asked me to marry him, my answer was no, because I grew up with very, very deep roots in a small town in Texas, and I didn't want to leave my family and my lifelong friends that I'd, you know, been with all my life and go traveling around the world. And I knew I wanted to be a mother as well as a wife, and I was concerned about dragging my children, you know, wherever the military decided to send us. So my first response was no, that was not the lifestyle that I would choose for myself. Over time, he convinced me that it was, and we've been married now for 45 years. So.
Oh, boy. So you kind of did it out of love.
Do what?
You did it out of love.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I've lived it out. We've lived in places like Saudi Arabia and the Sultanate of Oman and Malawi, Africa, and Washington, D.C., and other places in the United States. We have sort of settled in Arizona, which is where we live now, and it's a beautiful area down in southern Arizona, sort of like, you know, you're in a gorgeous place in Colorado. So
thank you. But
I love Colorado too. Our two sons live in Colorado, by the way.
Well, what would be your advice for people that are a hard place with young kids and have the military background. I mean, I have a business contact slash a friend who is a best-selling author, and her husband is in military in Guam, of all places, and she is in Virginia Beach, Virginia. So big difference. Big
absolutely.
Difference. And so what would you say to people who have a loved one in the military and don't really know what to tell their kids?
Yeah.
When the kids ask, where's daddy? I mean, or where's mommy, for one thing.
Right.
That's hard. So what?
That is very hard.
What would you tell my listeners to help them cope?
Yeah. Well, I think first of all, I would tell them that we have to begin to teach our children the meaning of living a life of purpose. And just like I understood from the beginning that my husband believed that his God-given purpose was to be an Army Ranger and to serve this country in whatever way they ask him to do. And by the way, he served in 5 war zones. So I've experienced, his being deployed multiple times. And, you know, with my kids, it was very difficult in that he was gone. And they do wonder why, and why does he have to be gone, and, you know, why their dad. But I always try to look at it from a positive perspective. I always try to explain it as that was his given purpose in life, and he was living into that. And our role was to support him and believe in him and to serve our nation just like he was, because I see military wives and families as in a place of service, just like the active duty member of the military.
Yeah.
So I always, took time to explain things to them in a very supportive way. And I tried not to share the burden of trying to wear both hats of being mom and dad, of being uprooted on a regular basis, because you, just about the time that you begin to plug in as a family, which is usually 2 or 3 years later, then you're just beginning to feel like you belong somewhere, and the military uproots you and moves you again. And, one of the things that I would tell young military families is when you're going through it, the wife tends to sort of lose herself. That's my best description. I call it survival mode. And you lose yourself in trying to serve the family and trying to find your place in a community, to find new friends, and then you have to give them up again. I mean, it's a very, very difficult sort of lifestyle. But there are also some great benefits to it. And I'm a positive thinker. So, I found great benefits in living that difficult lifestyle. And I always shared those things with our sons. So my advice to them is that when you're going through the survival mode, is that you become more and more aware that your children are going through the same thing. That was one thing I was not aware of early on. Is they're experiencing that same disconnect that you're going through. And so just being aware of that and pouring into their lives in a valuable way, staying connected closely to them, listening to their concerns. And with technology today, use it to your advantage, because you can at least connect with your military active duty spouse. You can use Skype Zoom. And I mean, what a
Skype.
Gift. We didn't have that.
Skype
what a
is
gift.
The best thing since sliced bread.
Absolutely.
And, Zoom is the best thing since sliced bread, and Google Plus is the best thing since sliced bread, too.
And absolutely, so, because it connects families, it connects husbands and wives, it connects children to their dad or their mom if they're deployed. And, you know, they can see them. It's almost like having a visit. I mean, it's not as good as, but what a joy and what a blessing.
No, but Skype can fill in those. Skype can fill in those. What's the word I'm looking for? Those lonesome moments. And
yes.
You can even read a storybook on Skype.
Absolutely.
Which I think is the best, I think is the best thing since sliced bread. And now with publishing kids' books, they can have interaction within the kids' books too. So
absolutely.
For those of you who do not know that, the technology has saved us. And so what has been the prettiest spot on the planet you've got to see as a military wife?
Wow. You know, I've found beauty in everywhere we are. Even in the desert of the Middle East, you know, I found beauty in the colors and the people and the faces of the people there. And I grew more and more aware as I got older and as we experienced more, and I always had a great appreciation for particularly the people. As far as the places, Africa was beautiful. It was like it had a primal energy to it that I loved being part of. So I found it beautiful, but I found even more beauty there in the simplicity of the way they viewed life. You know, they didn't have a lot, but they were happy with what they had. And so I found beauty in that, as well as the beauty of the surroundings of, you know, the green and the jungle and everything of Africa, the mountains. But the people, it's been the people in all of the places where we've been. I guess the most amazing thing that I have seen around the world is the Taj Mahal. When I went to India and went up to Kashmir, and we stayed on a houseboat there I went with some women, I was fascinated by the beauty of the Himalayas. I mean, just breathtakingly beautiful. But when I went to see the Taj Mahal, and I stepped inside the inner sanctum of those walls, and I could see the Taj, it literally, literally took my breath away.
Oh, my God. So that is a story right there in itself. I mean,
it is. It is. And, you know, and here's another thing. I'm working on a speech right now, and I was sharing with a colleague yesterday the experience of stepping off the plane in Saudi Arabia as a young military wife. Now, this was back in 1980, and we had been given orders to go to Saudi Arabia, and 1980 was right on the back end of the Iran hostage crisis. And a lot of our younger listeners, you know, may not remember, but it was a terrible time. It was kind of the first time in our American experience that Americans were being terrorized, you know, overseas. And it was national. It was national news, and it was in the news every day. And so when we got orders to go to that region, I was petrified, just petrified. And my parents... my parents begged me, please don't take our grandsons. Please don't take our grandsons there. And so it was such a difficult decision for me to not go home to the safety of my deep roots in Texas and stay there with my parents and take, you know, have our boys there. and to accompany him to that region of the world, particularly at that period of time. But I will never forget the instant of stepping off the plane, and that's what my speech is going to be on, because the airplane stopped on the tarmac. It did not go up to the terminal. And as I went down the steps of the plane, and it was like walking into a whole different world. And in spite of the fear that I felt for our safety and what was going to happen to us there, and mostly for our children, I was fascinated by just the differences that I saw immediately of the way they dressed and just my surroundings in the desert, you know, the desert of being there. We landed in Dalharan. And it was a capturing almost of my spirit as I stepped out into their world. That was my first time to really leave the United States, other than just go across the border from Texas to Mexico, but to leave the United States and the security and the comfort of being in the United States and go into a foreign environment. And, it doesn't get a lot different, more different than Saudi Arabia.
No, it
but
doesn't.
What I experienced there was a people who were interested in knowing us, a people who cared about each other just like we care about each other, a people who family and tribes were very important to them. They were gracious to us. They opened homes to us. Our boys, got to go into their homes and have dinner, and it was an experience that ended up being invaluable growth on all of our parts, and we never felt like we were unsafe. My husband was advising Saudis on American equipment that they, had bought from the United States, And they just opened their hearts to us. And so I guess what I'm saying is that not only have I seen some incredible things around the world, but I've experienced some incredible hospitality from people in all parts of the world. And part of my message to military wives, I just finished a book. It's titled Loving Your Life, 7 Steps for Military Wives. And what I've done there is I want to help them to shift their perspective early on to the understanding that, yes, it's a very difficult lifestyle, but it opens up doors and windows of opportunity that would never cross their path in any other way, or very unlikely. It doesn't for so many people. And if they have an open heart first, and then an open mind and an attitude of learning, that it can be some of the most tremendous growth opportunities and life friends from around the world that that they might never have the opportunity to see or meet or feel the graciousness of most people. Are there some bad guys out there? Sure there are.
Yeah.
Are there bad guys in the United States?
Yeah.
Yes, there are. And so it's all part of the way we look at life. In my book, I took the wheel of life, that sort of helps people to think of their life in terms of trying to get balance and bring joy. And it divides our lives into categories that we all deal with, and the categories may change a little bit between different individuals, but for example, fitness and faith and finance and family and relationships, career, community, and recreation. So I took those categories and I wrote about each one from my experience as a military wife and the lessons that I learned along the way. I also just finished a children's book on leadership, and it's called Wally Goes to School. And he learns leadership principles there from the different characters that he encounters at school and from his parents and from mentors. I want young children to understand the importance of being close to adults and finding mentors in their life to help them learn and grow. So I just finished both of those that will, help military families, but could help anyone for that matter, because it's a book of life lessons.
Wow. Wow. And I sit here and stunned. And so those of you who do not know, I have military. I'm a military brat myself. That doesn't come out to play very often. But I
I didn't know that.
Not my parents per se, but both my grandfathers. One fought in World War II, and the other fought in the Canadian Army, and that's how one of my grandparents got asthma. From the war and from the So I am a military brat when it comes down to it.
Have common roots. When
I guess you should say I'm a second generation military brat. Yes. And of course, I know a lot of people who are in military. I have a friend that went straight out of high school to Iraq, and it scares me half to death because I'm a second generation military brat myself, so I don't know what's going on over there. But it's just, the military is just fascinating to me. And when I want to let my listeners know, when you see a person in uniform, and this is going to make me cry, so ignore me. When you see a person in uniform, go ahead and hug them, because, especially in Atlanta or D.C., and in Dallas or Atlanta, you'll see military in the airports going home or duty airport, and the families at the other end are so excited to see them because they never know whether they're going to make it home. So I want my listeners, and Darcy agrees with me on this one, I want my listeners to understand what the military is for a sacrifice. And I thank you for the time, and I thank you for being patient with me and patient with my listeners. And
I admire your work, Gwen, very much. And patience is one of my virtues. So it is my pleasure. It's my honor to be part of your podcast. And I appreciate you including me.
Well, thank you. And again, this is Dorsey, and her website is DorseyBelveen.com. Correct?
Yeah, it's DorotheyBonvillain.com /military-wives. So it's DorotheyBonvillain.com/military-wives.
And you can look her up there and get connected. And I'm pretty positive she's on Facebook too. And she's all over the place. And as I said, it was lovely to have this eye-opening conversation with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Gwen. It has been my pleasure and, again, my honor. And anytime I can help you with what you're doing, you just reach out and let me know.
Thank you. Thank
Much
you.
love. Much love.